This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 27th of March here in Japan, and today I'm joined by Linda Williams, one of the webmasters of thefrugalzone.com and a frequent contributor to the article section of the Corbett Report. Linda Williams, we've had a lot of positive feedback about your informative articles under the name Dictator Hater, so it's good to finally have you on the program, and thanks for joining us today on the Corbett Report.
Well, thank you for having me, and that's always good to hear.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, your articles are extremely informative, and as some of my listeners may remember, we talked to your co-webmaster at The Frugal Zone, Kate Prince, back in November, and I'm sure they'll be interested to hear your story. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to start thefrugalzone.com.
Well, I've pretty much always bought into the corporate thing. I was a real estate broker for many years, and I just decided one day that a simpler life would be a lot better, and it certainly is. And what I've found out is the amount of money that you have doesn't define the amount of happiness you're going to have, and the simpler it is, the better it is. And that's how I came to the conclusion that I needed to scale down, get out of the rat race, and learn to live a little differently.
Absolutely. And so obviously self-sufficiency is one of the core concepts that prompted you to start frugalzone.com. Tell us a little bit about that website.
The Frugal Zone is a website that Kate and I put together. We sound off on different issues. We do have our opinions about things. And we are trying all the time to give people ways that they could save money, ways to simplify their life. We do have a book that's free there. The only thing we ask is if you like the book, leave us a tip. And it's called The $10,000 Challenge. There are a lot of money-saving tips in there, and you can... we try to guide people of what to do with the money they're saving so that they can hopefully get themselves out of debt, at least partially, if not all the way.
Absolutely. Well, Linda Williams, as I say, your articles for the Corbett Report have covered a wide range of issues, from economics to government corruption to political advocacy. But one of the topics that you consistently cover in great detail is the new old phenomenon of Victory Gardens, which, of course, were part of America's World War II effort. And they're once again springing up across the country, and they're being referred to as Bush Gardens in dishonor of the ex-president, or recession gardens. Personally, I think we should call them the economic meltdown is being engineered by the privately owned Federal Reserve Gardens, but whatever we call them, they're definitely coming back in vogue. Why do you think this is, and what can you tell us about your own experiences with backyard gardening?
Well, I think it's coming back in for many reasons. It's a good form of entertainment for the family. You can be teaching your children something useful while you're spending quality time with them. One of the biggest issues is probably the economic issue, because groceries at the store are certainly not getting any cheaper. So people are going to try to grow something on their property so that they can save some money. And another thing is the frankenfood that we have from all these different big agri companies. Who knows what we're eating anymore? And you can become healthier by growing your own food.
Absolutely. And, of course, growing your own food is part of self-sufficiency, which is, of course, vital in this current economic meltdown and is becoming more so. So I think as people start to rediscover the importance of becoming self-sufficient, more and more people are thinking about getting down and dirty in the backyard for the first time and really rolling up the sleeves and planting some things to grow. What would be your advice for people who are thinking about doing this but don't know how to begin?
Well, you know, you can get into gardening in a lot of different ways. Some people like to go out and spend a lot of money and buy all the, you know, a lot of fancy rigs to grow in, but you can do it fairly cheaply. How about if I just go over a fairly cheap way to do this first?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Okay. You can grow almost anything in a 5-gallon container, and if you're in an area that has bakeries or places that sell pickles or whatever, you can ask those people for their containers. You can grow tomatoes in them. All you have to do is drill holes in the bucket so that it will drain. and preferably something that's food grade. You don't want to put your food, your plants in something that's toxic. So you can use 5-gallon containers, and potting soil is another thing you would need if you don't have any dirt that you can use from your property. In my position here, I cannot go digging holes in my yard because it's too small. So I use a lot of containers to grow what I want to grow, and about all I need is the container, the mix that goes in it, some fertilizer. You can use a triple 10 fertilizer, and it will grow just about any kind of vegetable. And you also need to have, depending on what you're growing, most plants have, a specific requirement to make them grow. Tomatoes like lime, you can get that really cheap. And you can get Epsom salts cheap that helps the tomatoes uptake the calcium that they need to be healthy. And you also have to deal with pest control. Now, everybody seems to be on this organic thing. They want to grow healthy and not use any pesticides. And that's a wonderful concept, but it's not something that I've been able to master completely. I find myself having to turn to some pesticides at some point during the season. And all you would need to do is have a spray bottle if you have a very small garden to, like a spray bottle of pesticide. Or if you have a very large garden, you might want to invest in a sprayer that costs about $18 at the store. And that's just about all you're going to need to grow most vegetables.
That's excellent. And it's, again, it's not a complicated process, but it could be a bit intimidating for people who are doing it for the first time. What do you suggest in terms of buying these resources? Is there any particular store or online source that you would recommend for people?
I buy a lot of things online at instagarden.com. It's spelled instagarden.com. And the gentleman that owns that particular website is very, very good at giving advice on how to grow different things, and he's very successful. He grows some wonderful vegetables. I've been using a product called Coconut Core, which is an organic product that is a renewable resource, but I use it to amend my potting mix. I'm in a very hot climate, so I try to put something in my soil that will cause the water to stay in the containers longer, because when it's really hot here, you can be forced to water twice a day, and of course, that's another resource we're all trying to save on, plus the water bills are going up. And one of the things that I buy from him, if you can't find buckets and you're trying to save money on your gardening, you can use grow bags. They are a plastic 5-gallon bag that is pleated, and you can set it flat on the ground, and it's already got holes for drainage in it, and it holds 5 gallons of potting mix. You can grow tomatoes in it. You can even grow melons in 5-gallon containers, but the main thing, if you have a very small area, is to think vertical. Try to grow up a wall, or try to build a little wooden teepee thing and grow your beans and peas on that, so things aren't sprawling all over the ground. Plus, going vertical eliminates a lot of pest problems as well.
Absolutely, that's a good idea. Well, tell us about your own garden. What kinds of things do you grow? What kinds of things have you had the most success growing? And what kinds of things have you had perhaps some challenges in growing?
Well, the best piece of advice I can give anyone that's just starting out with a garden, and this is very important, and I didn't catch on to this for a while. The government, there's a lot of bad things about the government, but there is one area of government, which is your county extension office, that will send you a planting guide. One of the most important things you can know about gardening is to know when to plant what. Otherwise, you may have a failure in your garden. And you can email your county extension office, you can call them, and they will, almost everyone I think has this, and it's free. And they will send this to you, and it gives you the time to plant which vegetables. Now, I have right now growing, I have about 50 tomato plants, and they're all in containers. I have had great success with tomatoes, eggplant, lettuce. Lettuce is a wonderful thing because you can, if you can grow tomatoes and lettuce, you can have a salad, you know. There are many different types of lettuce. I don't like to grow the ones that make the heads. I like to grow the leafy ones because they're very fast to produce. Bok choy is another one. It's a Chinese cabbage. It can be used in stir fry, or you can put it in soups. You can do a lot of things with that. I like fast-growing things. Tomatoes aren't that fast, but I love tomatoes, so I'll wait for those. Eggplant, love hot weather. You can get a lot of eggplants off of one plant. It's a high producer. Okra is another one, and there are so many different kinds of vegetables that you can grow that are very unique-looking. You don't have to just stick with the old green stuff. I mean, the okra that I'm going to be growing this year when it warms up more is a burgundy heirloom okra, which is a very unusual-looking okra. Last year I grew Clemson Spineless, and it was great, but I wanted to try something a little different. Kale is another fast grower. You can use it in salads. You can use it at different stages of its life. You can stir-fry it when it gets a little bigger. You can steam it. You can do a lot of things with that. Radishes, you can have radishes within a month after you germinate the seeds. They're ready to eat. It's one of the fastest things you could possibly grow. Bunching onions is something else for someone that doesn't have a lot of space. The Japanese onions, you know, the little green onions you see at the store, they are fairly fast growing. I actually am growing them from seed. Everything I'm growing this year is from seed. If you're a beginning gardener, I would recommend that you buy some plants at the store, at a nursery or something, and go from there, and then do some experimenting maybe in your second year with growing from seed, because it is a little more difficult, and what we want to happen is for you to have a successful garden your first year, so you'll want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. A lot of people do get discouraged if they encounter some early failure, so it is important to start off with something that's attainable. But, let's get a little bit more into the rationale behind this. Linda Williams, tell us, how much money do you think someone could save by engaging in this type of activity?
Well, it would depend on the size of your family. I think the bigger the family, the bigger the savings, plus, you know, many hands make light work. I would say you could probably save $1,000 a year if you had a successful garden, if you eat a lot of vegetables.
That's incredible, and in this day and age when every penny counts, that's an awful lot of pennies. So it's definitely something that people should be looking into. And as
right.
I say, obviously your articles are a wealth of information about this, including your recent article on container gardening, and of course many of the other articles, which are, of course, archived at CorbettReport.com. But tell us once again about the website for people who are interested in finding out more about you and your work.
The frugalzone.com is there to try to help people. Kate and I went through quite a bit of, you know, dealing with debt, dealing with stress, dealing with a big giant house we really didn't need, you know, where she was, where I was. And we met online, actually, and we're very far apart. We've never met in person, but we just clicked. And we decided we were going to try to do something to help other people. I really believe that the universe rewards you if you're not greedy.
Absolutely. Well, and of course that ties into self-sufficiency. God helps those who help themselves. So definitely thefrugalzone.com is a place to check out if you're interested in getting off of the corporate control grid and trying to obviously start something for yourself and taking you and your family's health and well-being into your own hands, which I think is obviously becoming more and more important with each passing day. So, Linda Williams, your wealth of information on the subject, we thank you for coming on the program today. Anything you'd like to say to my listeners in closing?
Just one more thing. When we first got on here, you were talking about the Victory Gardens back and there were victory gardens in World War One and World War Two. The federal government had requested that people grow their own vegetables. What I see happening now is an organic garden going into the White House, and there's no mention of money saving or, you know, all the advantages other than your children won't be obese if you grow an organic garden is kind of the gist that I'm getting. And I'm very disappointed in that because, you know, either they are very out of touch with the economic situation, which I can't even imagine that with all the talk about it all the time, but with the average people on the street, the government, the federal government right now should be asking people to become more self-sufficient. And gardening is one way to do it. And to me, it's that leadership. We need that leadership. We need someone that's going to say, hey, look, you know, you can help yourself this way or that way. And that's what we try to do at the Frugal Zone. And, I mean, we're not presidents or anything, but we're just people like everybody else. And it just takes a little common sense, and it just seems like our government doesn't have any anymore.
I would certainly agree with that opinion, and definitely the Obama garden is, I guess in one sense it is a good thing, but in another sense, of course, it is going to be used to try to co-opt the energy out of the recession garden movement and try to make it into something about, getting kids to stop being so obese or something like that, and taking out the real impetus behind it, which of course is the collapsing economy, which of course goes back right to the Obama administration and all of the failed policies of that administration. So definitely it's trying to be co-opted at the moment, but sites like thefrugalzone.com provide the real information about the real impetus behind this. So again, very valuable, and I suggest all my listeners check it out. Linda Williams, thank you once again for being on the program today.
Thank you, James. It was great being here with you.